Well, good morning again, everyone. I am happy that you're all here this morning. We are about to start a new four-week series from one of my personal favorite books in the Bible, the book of Philippians. Now, the book of Philippians is only four chapters long, but I always found that whenever I needed an encouraging word from God, I usually either turned to the Psalms, or many times in the New Testament, I would turn to this book in the Bible, Philippians. Biblical scholars agree that the letter that Paul wrote to the Philippian church, to the Philippians, is his most personal of all the epistle letters that he wrote. This four-week sermon series is called No Matter What, because there are two themes that Paul hits home hard throughout this letter to the Philippian church. And the first theme that Paul hits on is that no matter what is occurring in our lives at any given moment, we have the gospel, which brings us hope. The gospel is good news. Despite any signs of hopelessness we see around in our lives or in our world. And the second theme of Paul's letter is that no matter what, we have an everlasting joy because of this gospel message that we believe in and that we share with others. Now, we need to understand that when Paul wrote this letter of hope and joy, he wrote it staring from the walls of a prison cell. That's pretty amazing. It is also interesting that Paul is calling the church to unity in the gospel, even while he is separated from the rest of the church body while in prison. Unity is about being together for a common purpose or cause. The purpose of this church is to share the good news and make disciples with the world and to be united together in Christ Jesus. Now, as Paul reminds us of this unity, he is also reminding himself of this truth, which is why I said it's his most personal letter. Some of the most comforting verses found in the Bible are recorded in this book of Philippians and this letter that Paul wrote. For instance, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul says this. Many of us Christians have heard this verse and even quote it many times. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now think about that. Paul, who wrote those words that we all love so much, that Christ can do all things through, he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. Paul wrote those words behind prison bars. I don't know if they were bars. It may have just been a cell. But the point is that he was in prison when he wrote it. Now, over these next 4 weeks, we will be going over all these verses, including chapter 4 in week 4. But before I get started, I want all of you to have just a little background on who the Philippians were and why Paul wrote this letter to them. The Philippians were people who lived in the town of Philippi. Philippi was a Roman colony located in the Macedonian region of Greece. You can actually go and visit this town today, Greece today, and see the ancient Roman ruins and even the Christian settlements that are still standing to this day. And the letter that Paul wrote was to the Christians living in the town of Philippi. Philippi was ruled by the Romans during this time period Paul wrote his letter. And the people, or the Christians at Philippi, enjoyed the privileges of being Roman citizens. And we need to understand that being a Roman citizen back in those days brought many privileges to the people. The problem that Paul addresses to the Philippian Christians in this letter is that they were identifying themselves as Romans first, and as a reflection of their civic duty or Roman pride, and not as citizens of God's kingdom first. And Paul reminds the Philippian church not to participate in the worship of the imperial cult of Rome and not to display any loyalty to these practices. Paul also encourages the Philippian Christians to live less of a grateful Roman citizens and place more emphasis and gratitude on their citizenship in the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. You know, in our country today, as Kai, Pastor Kai mentioned in our in her prayer to us, to God this morning, we have a lot of political discourse going on in this country. And it can be easy for us Christians to get caught up in the political discourse of the country. And Christians should be careful to remember first where our Christian primary citizenship belongs, and that is in the kingdom of God. Now, that isn't to say that as Christians we shouldn't engage in the secular culture that our country has moved more and more towards over the years. Christians need and should be a voice in our country. We can and should engage in discussions with our neighbors on the direction our political leaders are taking this country. Christians in this country have the privilege to participate in our democracy and the free speech allowed by our Constitution. Even the Apostle Paul acknowledged his privilege back in the days that he was a Roman citizen. You can read about that in the book of Acts. However, when Christians do so, we need to always remember that we are citizens of God's kingdom first and foremost, despite the direction the rest of the country is heading in. We need to remember where our loyalty lies. It isn't with our political leaders or even our political platforms. A Christian's loyalty first resides with Christ. Now, I needed to say that today because Paul, again, reminded the Philippian Christians of their responsibilities as followers of Christ in Roman society, and it still applies to us today. But this reminder is not Paul's primary purpose in writing to the Philippian church. Again, Paul wrote to the Philippians to share with them the reminder of their hope and their joy found in the gospel. So let's get started. We're going to start in chapter 1 today, starting over in verse 1. Paul begins his letter by saying who he's writing to. Paul says, "To all God's holy people, in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ." From the very get-go, Paul reminds Christians that they are God's holy people. If Paul was writing a letter to Christians today here at Living Hope, he would write the same thing to all the Christians sitting here today. If you are in a relationship with Jesus Christ, you are considered holy people in God our Father's eyes. God the Father sees a Christian as holy because Christ who lives in the Christian is holy. That is very, very good news right off the bat for any believer that you are considered holy in the eyes of the Father. You are judged by the Father through the holiness of Jesus Christ living in you. Really think about that for a second. That's a pretty amazing thing that has happened in the life of every believer. No matter where you are in your walk with God right now, if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, you are considered holy by God. And I know this can be hard for us to understand, knowing who we are or how we feel on the inside. Christians, more than anyone, should understand the sin that still remains in each of our lives. And you may be thinking, how could the Father see me as holy? Isn't holiness something that should be obtained? You know, it's really not that way. Holiness in the life of the believer comes through faith in the one who lives in us. You are holy because Christ is holy. The more you lean on Christ, your holiness, His holiness, I should say, His holiness will transform you from the inside out. And as we go on reading through Philippians, we will learn that holiness is lived out in the life of the believer because Christ lives in the believer. And through Christ, we can live out our lives worthy of the gospel. Righteousness will then flow out of the life of a Christian through their faith in Christ who lives in them. Through faith, Christ will then radiate his righteousness out through you in your households, in your workplace, in your schools, in your marriages, wherever you are holy because Christ is holy. We need to believe that and have faith in that. Now, I realize there are Christians here today that may squirm a little bit when they hear that we are considered holy by God. And I also concede that there may be someone here today who is not a Christian and may be thinking to themselves that they've been around some Christians before and they're far from being holy. And this may be, sadly, one of the reasons why they don't believe what Christians say about God. If they can't see God changing a person who calls themselves a Christian, then how can God possibly help them change? That's what non-believers, many of them, think. And we need to think about that as believers. Christians have a great responsibility in sharing the gospel with a lost world. The words you speak are very, very important, but just as important are your actions that others see. I also think about what the people think of us who are closest to us, such as our family or close friends. What would they say about me thinking or saying that I am holy? Because God says I'm holy. The people that we are closest to know all our flaws. As a believer, we should, as I said, know our flaws better than anyone as well. And if we don't, we can be sure that those closest to us will point them out. People will judge Christians for every mistake that you make. But if your heart is right with God through Jesus Christ, do not allow your mistakes or your sin to make you feel condemned or unworthy of your calling. Throughout the book of Philippians, Paul begins, as I said, as reminding these Christians that they are already holy, and then goes on to explain how to live out their lives in the hope and joy to that fact that they are holy. And I also think about our own church family here at Living Hope. What do we think or say about one another? Do we lift each other up as holy brothers and sisters in Christ? Or do we tear each other down, especially when the other isn't around to defend themselves? If anyone should be lifting up a fellow brother and sister in Christ, it should be the Christians that are around them. We will make mistakes. We will all say stupid things from time to time or do something stupid from time to time. But we should be helping our brother or sister in Christ who is struggling. But it should always be in love to help them live the life they were called to be by God. Never, ever in condemnation. Now, I don't want to be all negative here about this. The book of Philippians is about hope and joy. But we do have to acknowledge what Paul called the Christians at Philippi. He called them God's holy people. And sometimes I don't think Christ Church sees themselves as that or acts holy at all times. But we do have to start somewhere. And Paul started somewhere. He started acknowledging what is true, that the Christians at Philippi were holy because Christ is holy. That is true. And it's true for every believer sitting here today. So let's begin where Paul left off. He called the Philippian Christians holy. Then moving on to verse 3 of chapter 1, Paul says this, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." How thankful are we for each other in the church? How often do we pray for one another in joy? And do we see each other as partners in the gospel? this week in the office, Kai was laughing at Aaron and I because we were giving each other such a hard time. And Aaron and I like to joke around with each other. And Aaron and I just love to laugh. And we laugh at each other, especially Aaron laughing at me. But with any marriage, Aaron and I have had our down points, areas where it wasn't such a laughing matter. Aaron and I really are complete opposites in how God has made each of us. They say that people, that opposites attract, and that's partly true. At least it was for me and Aaron. However, sometimes being opposites can create some friction. There are some things that my wife does that annoy me, and there are many things that I do that annoy my wife. Now, I can't speak fully for Aaron here, but I will speak for myself. What has helped me love my wife so much deeper over the years is thanking God for her. Thanking God for her in the times where maybe we weren't getting along so well. That has grown my love for her more than anything. God then begins to work through me to improve our marriage. I thank God in joy that he gave me my wife, because she helps me become a better man. And yes, she helps me laugh at myself. My wife and I are not only partners in marriage, but we have become partners in the gospel. And we trust in God for living out our lives in holiness in our marriage and how we treat other people. We hold on to this promise found in Philippians 1:6, that God, who began a good work in us, will carry it on to completion. And this promise applies by God. This promise by God applies to every Christian sitting here today. I will admit that Aaron and I don't always live out our lives in perfect holiness. Some of you know us best, as I said, who are closest to us, our friends and our family, know our flaws. But the awesome part of these verses is that promise, that God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion. That is an amazing promise by God to hold on to, by the way. No matter what, Christ is going to continue to transform you into the person he has called you to be. And if we notice in verse 6 that it doesn't say, you who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. It is God who began a good work in you, and God alone who will carry it on to completion. He is never, ever going to give up on you. It doesn't matter how far you have fallen. When you cry out to him in forgiveness, he will pick you up, he will wash you off again, and continue walking with you in holiness. That is pretty awesome. He will guide you, he will teach you, and transform you into the life and hope and joy of the gospel as we live it out. That's good news. Don't let the enemy, or anyone for that matter, take this hope and joy away from you. Hold on to this promise that God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion. This is a verse you can go to whenever you feel that you are no longer worthy to be with God. But know this, God doesn't see you that way. God sees you as his holy son and his holy daughter. You have been adopted by God if you have come to Christ. You have been adopted by God the Father through Christ Jesus. It is God who does the good work in your life. Finishing well primarily depends on God himself. From beginning to end, it is God who is actively working in your life as you rely on him in faith. No matter what, God always, always finishes what he starts. Can we just get an amen on that? He finishes what he starts. That is good news. One day we will all be standing in front of Christ, and God promises on that day that he will complete the work he has started in each believer. This promise, though, applies to living here and now. There is a joy that should come through believing this. I want to pause here for a second and just say something about our individual struggles. Because I really, when I was writing out this message, I added this in there because I really believe God wanted me to say this about each of our struggles or sin. We can focus too much energy on them, especially in the church. I don't want to live my life or see any of you living your life continually focused on your struggles. Let's face it, we know that we are flawed people, and I'm not saying that we should ignore our struggles or our sin. If you are thinking about what they are, then you're not ignoring them. But don't stay there. Focusing on how flawed you really are or wondering all the time what other people think of you because of your flaws is not helping you. If you are in Christ, God is already doing a good work in you. And isn't that enough? Isn't his grace enough to make you into the person he has called you to be? He will transform us from the inside out. But let's not doubt God on what he says. Instead of continually focusing on our flaws, let's focus on the promise that no matter what, God who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. The reason Paul is able to call Christians at Philippi the holy ones is because he believes what God says he's doing in their lives. He believes it. He believes in the promise. I believe what he's doing, what God is doing in me, and I believe, and I choose to believe, what he is doing in every believer sitting here in this church today. And that brings me great joy and should bring all of you joy as you look around at your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I mentioned my marriage to all of you and how my love for Erin has grown stronger each day as I thank God for giving me her to be my wife. I use this illustration because it also applies to what Paul writes next to the Philippian church. Paul understood that the Christians in Philippi weren't perfect, that they had their flaws, but Paul loved them enough to pray for them always in thanksgiving and believed what God was doing in their lives. Now, as you look around the room at your brothers or sisters in Christ, knowing the flaws that they each have, don't look at anyone too long, but how do you feel about them? Do you feel any kind of mistrust, anger, annoyance, or whatever it is? Don't treat them any differently. Pray for them in love, but start by thanking God for them and what he's doing and acknowledging what God is doing in their lives. I tell you what, when you pray for people like that, God's going to move in their lives. It's hard to stay mad at someone when you're thanking God for them. And when we pray for them like this in love, you will discover the joy that Christ promised us as well. Because you are obeying Christ's commandments to us. What is this commandment? I mentioned it a few weeks ago in a sermon. It was from Matthew 22, verse 37 through 39. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like this, to love your neighbor as yourself. You see, Paul didn't ignore his brothers and sisters' faults, but he loved them enough to pray for them in love and acknowledged who they were, that they were valued by God. Valued so much that he gave them his son to live in them. Now in verse 9, Paul writes, starting in verse 9. Paul writes to these Christians in Philippi saying this prayer. He says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure, blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." You see, Paul didn't ignore their faults. He just knew where the answers to those faults were found. And that's what he prayed for, that their knowledge and their depth and insight would grow, that they would be able to discern what is best. Remember, the Christians there in Philippi lived in a very sinful and idol-worshipping society. This secular society was also influencing the church there in Philippi, much like the culture today is influenced the church in today's age. But instead of getting angry with his brothers and sisters or condemning them, Paul prayed for them in love. But he prayed for them in love that their knowledge for God would grow. A love to gain more knowledge about God, a love to learn about more godly insight, and a love to be able to discern what is best, pure, and blameless. Paul knew that as he prayed in love like this, that Christ, the Holy Spirit, would grow to quicken the Christians living there in Philippi, to be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through the love of Jesus Christ. Prayer is the most important ministry we can do for anyone who is struggling with sin. I can't emphasize that enough. Prayer is what's going to influence any believers or non-believers. If you want Christ to move in someone's life, then pray like Paul prayed here. Now, over the next 3 weeks, we will continue to explore Paul's words that he wrote to this church, because all of Scripture applies to us today. Next week, we will go over how we can live our lives worthy of the gospel. And then over the last 2 weeks, we will go over Paul's words on what that actually looks like in the life of a Christian. Every believer, as I said, already has this power in them to live this worthy life for Christ and for their calling. However, the body has to work together and love each other as Christ loves each of us. I want to conclude by saying this to all my brothers and sisters in Christ, that God has already begun a good work in you. And I do want to pause here for anyone that is not in Christ. He wants to begin a good work in you as well. All you have to do is come to him in faith and say, "I'm a sinner. I have sin in my life. I have struggles in my life, Lord. Jesus, I need you. Will you forgive me?" And he is faithful, full of grace and mercy to do that. And then he will come, Jesus will come into your life, begin that good work, and carry it on to completion. And through his Holy Spirit, and through that relationship with Christ, he will prompt you to follow his commands, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's where holiness is found. It's love. If you're struggling to love someone, then pray for them. Thank God for them. If you're struggling in being the person that Christ has called you to be, then ask another brother or sister in Christ to help pray for you. We are all struggling in some way to be holy as Christ is holy. Yet our Father in heaven still calls us the holy ones, because Christ died for us and now lives in us. And Christ promises that no matter what, he will complete the work he started in you. We need each other, despite the flaws we see in each other. Jesus Christ works through the whole body to change who we are becoming individually. We have a responsibility to pray for each other in thanksgiving and to love as God loves each of us. This will then quicken us to learn more about God so we can continue on teaching others about Him. And then we will live a life worthy of God, so others who do not know Jesus will know Him through us. They will see our holiness or His holiness in us and lived out through each of us. And that is Paul's prayer starting in chapter 1 of Philippians. Will you pray with me? I want to pray for the preschool one more time and the youth group. We have some outreach ministries going on starting this fall. And my prayer is for each of you that are serving in those ministries or helping whatever ministries they are, that as people come into this church, whether it be the preschool families or youth that are coming in who are not in relationship with Christ, that they will see Him in you. And that Christ would give us, each of us, the strength to live that out in holiness and to live a life worthy of the gospel. Let's pray. Father, I think about these words that Paul wrote to the Philippians. And I know, Father, that these words apply to us today. And Father, I'm thankful for each person here today. Whether they know You or they don't know You, Lord, I am so thankful that You have just put it on their hearts just to be here, to hear Your word, to hear how much You love them. And Lord, would You help us to learn to love like You? Would You help us to learn to be thankful for people, for Christians and non-Christians alike, Lord, that You would just help us to be thankful for them because You have given them life and You love them. And if you're thankful for each person and You value each person, Lord, would You help Your church to be able to value and love like You love? Help us to remember that. And Lord, help us as we go into this fall season that when we start these ministries, the preschool ministries, the youth ministries, and all the various ministries we got going around this church, Lord, that You would help us be that light to others, the love, that they would come to know this love that You have shown each of us, because people are searching for You, God. And it is Your church that You have given the world to be that light and salt to the world, Lord. We just pray for Your presence here. We pray for Your presence within the ministries. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.